Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Bob and Yart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We've been interviewing a former U.S. Air Force master sergeant. He'd listen in to the Russians. He was stationed in Vietnam and Tripoli at the Pentagon. And Tom Healey would protect America's nuclear weapons as they were transported around this country. Tom was given 2 months to live by his oncologist. He and I have been friends for many years. We've traveled together, and Tom has been sharing what is most important to him. This is our fifth program in about 5 weeks. So, Tom Healey, welcome back to Bob and Yart Live.
Hello, Bob, and hello to your listening audience.
Well, it's great to talk with you, Tom, on criminal justice this time.
Yes. There's one thing that I can say for Denver Bible Church. Is that they did not major in the minors.
Oh.
The things that you taught over the years have been so, so, so important. If I were emperor, I would make sure that your DVD on God's criminal justice system and your syllabus, which is gives all the Bible references and what have you, would be in every single church in front of every pastor, and if I, as emperor, I would demand it was mandatory reading.
Well, I guess we're all lucky, Tom, that you're not the emperor, but I know what you mean, because it's such a central theme in the scriptures, but it's almost completely ignored by the body of Christ.
They're not only ignorant of it, Bob, they don't even know it exists.
Oh, no. Wow.
Let me ask you a question, Bob. If Governor Huckabee was in your church, and he pardoned that guy, and the guy went out and killed somebody.
What a tragedy. That would have never happened, obviously. He would have known better.
You would have advised him, Governor, you don't have authority to do that.
Right. Not only does God say a murderer must be put to death, and the judge cannot show mercy, he may not, but we see believers in heaven, and they say that they are looking forward to justice and vengeance to be brought against those who murdered them.
Exactly. When these judges do this, when they magnanimously sit up there and show mercy, they may feel good about themselves, and self-righteousness is oozing from their pores, but they're not doing anything for the person that's standing in front of them.
Mm.
In other words, the people that, you're a homosexual? Oh, okay, I accept your lifestyle. That's not love.
Mm.
What you're doing is you're sending that homosexual off to hell with a loving embrace.
Yeah, it makes people feel good about themselves at the cost of hating their neighbor, because when you lie to your neighbor, or you enable him and affirm him in his self-destructive behavior and in his rebellion against God, you are hurting that person. That's the equivalent of hating that person, even if you might not realize it.
Yes. I was at a church, Baptist church, and the pastor preached against homosexuality, and it's a sin. So I went up after the service. I says, Pastor, I said, homosexuality is not just a sin. He says, what? I says, it's a crime punishable by death.
Mm.
And he rocked back on his heels. What are you saying?
Mm.
And I said, well, I didn't say that, Pastor. I said, God says that in Leviticus.
Yes, and Tom, God also says that adultery with a married woman, adultery with a married woman is a capital crime. And because we are all nicer than God, our culture, therefore, we sacrifice millions of children whose lives are destroyed because their parents' relationship, the marriage, is destroyed, so the family is broken. and all the harm that comes from sexual immorality with the decriminalization of adultery and fornication and pornography and increasingly prostitution and, of course, homosexuality.
Yeah, and, you know, I always like to point out, and people are totally unaware of this, is that God has delegated some of his authority. For example, he's delegated authority to governments to punish criminals and wage just wars. And he's granted, or he's delegated a spiritual authority to pastors, and he's delegated spanking authority to parents. But any authority that God has not granted, we do not have.
Wow, because otherwise you're usurping authority from God. So when God said, do not let your eye show pity, take no mercy on the murderer, but he shall surely be put to death, and then we have nicer than God pastors and Christian governors like Governor Huckabee who say, oh, no, I know better. And in reality, Tom, I think the vast majority, like you said at the outset, they have no idea that God has spoken on these issues.
No, and they never bother to consult God on what is your opinion, God?
You're not only negligent for not knowing in the first place, but it's pretty easy to Google or use your computer and search to find out what God said about these things, like perjury, bearing false witness. What should the punishment be? So tragically, today in the body of Christ, not only do people not know what God has said about all these issues, they do not care. And it would be one thing for them to say, okay, God said this, but I think he's wrong for this reason, or I no longer think that's the case for this reason, and so I'm not going to do that.
But that's in the Old Testament.
Right, and of course, Jesus Christ affirmed the death penalty in the New Testament.
Matthew 16, I believe it was.
Well, repeatedly, we have an article. If folks Google God and the death penalty, they'll find us ranked number one out of a million pages by Google. And we list all the verses in the New Testament. It's subtitled The New Testament Support for Capital Punishment because the death penalty is at the heart of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If there's something wrong with the death penalty, then there was something wrong with the Father, God, for requiring it to pay the penalty of our sin. That's right. And the Bible is a criminal justice textbook. From the beginning to end, with two or three witnesses and the constant parallels between criminal justice and salvation.
You know, I sat down and talked with some people when Kavanaugh had the false witness gal against him. And I said, I asked him, I said, do you know that God has a solution to all this false witness business? They had no idea what it was, you know. I said, you know, if you bear false witness against your neighbor, I said, the judge warns you, and okay, you're making this claim that Mr. So-and-so raped you. Now we're going to have a trial, and if it turns out that you're lying and it's proven otherwise that the evidence is against you, then the death penalty that was to come on the person you accused will come back on you.
Well, it's mostly you commit perjury with impunity, unless, of course, you're a Trump associate, then that's a different matter. But overall, in 1,000 courtrooms across America, you commit perjury with impunity. The courts are so accustomed to being lied to, they could hardly care less. Whereas God said, if someone bears false witness against their neighbor, perjury, then the punishment is whatever would have happened to that innocent victim if they had been wrongly accused, that's the punishment you bring on the perjurer. And of course, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbor. Tom, five of the Ten Commandments are a foundation of any nation's criminal justice system. Do not murder, do not steal, don't commit adultery, do not bear false witness, and then also do not covet your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's goods. And of course, we know that covetousness goes to motive in a criminal trial. You don't need to identify or prove motive. but it often helps. It's one of those two or three witnesses that help to establish the guilt of the accused.
Exactly. I'll give you an example. Also, let's say that some woman came and accused me of raping her at midnight last night. And the judge warns her that if she's found to be a false witness against me, that the death penalty that was to come on me would go back on her.
Yeah.
And she'd probably want to withdraw that.
Oh, yeah, right, exactly.
It's too late now. It's out there.
Right. And, so that people would not bear false witness so readily. I mean, we had that case in the Kavanaugh hearings, you recall, with a second accuser who made up the most absurd, egregious accusations, and then she admitted that she made these up.
And it was immunity.
Pretty much. I mean, if she does get punished, it would be historic.
But here's what the judge would also warn the witnesses that are out there. I want you all to know, if you have any evidence, testimony, and you withhold it from me in this case, and it's found out later that you withheld evidence from me, you will be put to death. Let's say that there's six guys sitting in the audience, and they say, wait a minute, say that again, Judge?
Yeah, right.
Because we're kind of angry at him right now because we were playing poker with him last night at the Prairieville store, and he took all of our money.
Right.
But he couldn't have done it, you know.
So, Tom, it's no longer a justice system. Now it's just a system. In fact, on the internet, when we first said that on the show over a quarter of a century ago, that's been picked up by the Quote Garden and other websites that have quotes on criminal justice. But also, a trial by jury is justice by committee, which is a failure. We have here at Bob and Yurt Live, we've presented the biblical model for criminal justice in our criminal justice seminar, which, like you said, is available, kgov.com. That's our website. Just click on the store and you could browse our government department, you know, the Department of Government and Criminal Justice. And we point out that it's won't versus can't. Liberals, including Republicans, try to make it so that criminals can't commit crime, whereas God's method of criminal justice is that criminals won't commit crime. And human beings are so incredibly resourceful, you could lock them up in prison and they could still have people murdered. So making it so that you can't commit crime, like taking away everybody's guns, and then they knife people to death.
Exactly. So anyway, it even gets worse, Bob. The FBI now is lied to the FBI. They will make a plea bargain with you that if you tell another lie about Trump,
you're right,
you can go free.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so crazy.
Yes, right. We've lost touch with criminal justice. In fact,
with reality.
Because criminal justice is part of reality. Tom, my uncle is a famous attorney. He's represented organized crime folks, murderers, rapists. He typically will get them acquitted, even though it's overwhelmingly obvious they committed the crime. It's so tragic. We've asked him so often about right and wrong, and what he says is, I don't know right from wrong. And sure, you're a lawyer for all these decades. Whereas, Tom, when you're coming from a biblical perspective, I've had the honor, because of our work on criminal justice, I've had the honor of teaching seminars where we've had, you know, prosecutors, the DA of major U.S. city in attendance all day long, a governor of a state, his law partner. I've been able to go on Court TV to talk about why Scott Peterson should be put to death. You remember we purchased O.J. Simpson's memorabilia at auction and then burned his Hall of Fame award and his Heisman 68 jersey, which had been hanging in his Brentwood mansion. We burned those on the steps of the L.A. courthouse while we called for a new criminal justice system in America. We did our Bill Clinton rape Juanita Broderick protest in 145 cities, not only across America, but as far as Auckland, New Zealand, following Clinton around. And so you know, we focused on the never-before-heard Columbine recordings about that massacre and the clue that breaks the case on the horrific JonBenet Ramsey murder. So this has been a theme. And if you study the Bible, you can't avoid focusing on criminal justice because God does repeatedly and throughout.
Yeah, you want to hear a very tragic result of being ignorant that God has a criminal justice system and that he has not granted authority to anyone to change it, is that when the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriage, how many churches went gay? I mean, overnight.
Right.
And they were totally unaware that they didn't have authority to do that.
Wow. Yeah, 2014.
I want to say one more thing about the criminal, about the false witness, and then we'll go to something else.
All right.
But, you know, if you had God's law in effect, swiftly enforced, there would be so few false witnesses that it wouldn't be worth talking about.
Right. What a great point. You would not be falsely convicting people accused of murder because God promises us we would not have a murder epidemic. So you can't be putting people to death here, there, and everywhere who were innocent because the vast majority of those murders would never have occurred. Your child would not have grown up to become a murderer.
Yeah. Well, what I want to continue with, Bob, is that you would have so few of those that if you were a judge and you had a woman come to you crying, bruised, and claimed she was raped out in the woods, she was jogging, this guy pulled her behind an oak tree, and she gave a lot of details, and she said, I don't know who he is, but I know I scratched his neck, and I'll give you a description of him. You would, as a judge, you would be able to say, you know what, this gal,
she has a lot of credibility, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
you would get
your
detectives together. Hey, I want you to go out there. I want you to check around that oak tree.
Yeah.
She said she broke a branch off the oak tree.
Yes.
She said she scratched his neck. She said tore his shirt, you know. So she would be more credible because she would be really putting her life on the line.
Yes. Tom, you might recall I wrote a novel years ago called The First 5 Days. And in it, America has a godly criminal justice system, and there's so little crime that many crimes get investigated in real time. Like the crime is reported, and the police are immediately following up clues to where they find the criminal or his stash or whatever, and then he is swiftly judged and put to death. And God says,
sometimes the same day, Bob.
Yes.
Or unless the judge has to travel from another town.
Yeah, right.
The next day.
Right. So in that case that you described, if the man is found with a scratch and he meets the woman's description and he says he never saw her, he was never there, and they see the evidence, you know, the dirt on his shoes, and she says, I ripped off his two of his shirt buttons, and there she has him. And they're found at the scene, and they match his shirt. That's it. That's enough evidence.
Yeah.
And he's swiftly, God says, if they're swiftly put to death, then you will not have a crime epidemic. And so what that means is we sacrifice women on the altar of being overly cautious toward rapists. We sacrifice how many women have been raped? How many children have been sexually assaulted and killed? How many murders have been committed because we sacrifice those innocent victims on the altar to being overly nice to the murderers and the rapists.
You know, there was a guy came into school down here and shot the coach because the coach wouldn't put his son in the game.
Yeah.
And it was 6 years later.
Oh.
And they were having a trial. And I said, what murder trial?
Right.
You know, the guy that came into the school.
Yeah, people forget.
I couldn't even remember.
Right. And Tom, then when they put somebody to death 22 years after the crime, half of the witnesses aren't even alive anymore. They've moved out of state. People don't remember the crime. They got to be reminded by the media who this guy was and who he murdered. And it loses the deterrence.
There were 3 or 4 students that saw him do it.
Right. You know what, though, Tom? In the intervening months, we had a lot of very well-paid government bureaucrats. When they say, and they all do, and it makes me nauseous when I go to court, which I've done 100 times in my life, when they say, and they all do, we have the greatest system in the world. Well, that's not a results-based statement, because we have one of the highest violent crime rates in the world, we have one of the highest sexual assault rates in the world, and we have one of the highest incarceration rates in the world. So if it was a results-based assessment, they'd say, we really have a pretty terrible system. But when they say we have the best system in the world, what they mean, and we researched this, we figured it out over a period of years, what they mean is we have the highest paid lawyers in the world. That's what they mean when they say we have the best system in the world. So in those 6 years, a lot of people made a lot of money in their paychecks and toward their retirement. And what rush were they in? Justice delayed is justice denied, right?
Yeah.
That's a common statement.
Yeah, exactly.
But from the scriptures, we realize the opposite is also true. Justice denied, like say with O.J. Simpson being a murderer, justice denied is justice delayed, because on judgment day, everyone, everything will be resolved. Every injustice will be paid for one way or another.
Yeah, the best thing that could happen to Bill and Hillary Clinton is to be arrested, charged, found guilty, put in jail in orange jumpsuits, and they would stand a much better chance of accepting the Lord. I remember Chuck Colson saying that when he was number two to the president, and not vice president, but he was chief of staff.
Yeah.
And he said when he got processed into prison, he said, that's the bottom of the line. He said, that's when you start reaching out to God, because you're in jail, you know.
If you recall his book, Born Again, I read his book back in, I think it was still the 1970s. I became a Christian in 1973, and he had written a couple books then that I read. And I remember him saying that when his entire life was crashing down around him because of Watergate, that he was out on the beach by the ocean for a day. And he had a legal pad, and he put a line down the middle to make two columns. In the first side, it was evidence for Jesus Christ, and on the other side, evidence against. And he was reading Mere Christianity by C.S. Lewis, one of the most brilliant books ever written. And his evidence for the gospel filled up his legal pad, and he turned his life over to the Lord.
Yeah, there's so many people that have tried to disprove Jesus Christ, you know. J. Warner Wallace was going to use his detective skills, you know, to disprove Jesus.
Yeah, cold case detective, and we had him on the show. Really interesting. We did a great interview, and the apologetics, the evidence for the gospel and God's existence. But, Tom, the one place we disagreed, when I pointed out that a jury trial is justice by committee, he didn't like that. And then that America does not have the greatest criminal justice system in the world is pretty terrible. He really didn't like that.
So, no, because he's in the system.
Right.
And
he's
and
seen enough to know the gospel, but you got to open your eyes wider to see the corruption of not only individuals within the system, but the system itself.
Yeah. You know, Bob, I want to get in before we run out of time. I want to get into something, tell Christians, the Christian church, why it's so important to be knowledgeable of God's moral law, his criminal law, to be knowledgeable of it. The law is one of God's evangelical tools that we are to use to witness to people.
What a great point, Dom.
And for example, at Pentecost, you know, in the Ark of the Covenant, which was also called the Ark of Testimony, there was 3 witnesses in there. God likes that number 3. There was the manna, which is Jesus Christ, and the tablets, which is the law.
The bread from heaven and the tablets of the Ten Commandments, the law, yeah.
And then Aaron's rod was bloomed.
The miracles.
Produced fruit. Yeah, the miracles. And so at Pentecost, people missed this. Here God presented the miracles.
Right.
That's got everybody's attention.
This is through Peter's preaching, right? Peter's preaching on Pentecost 50 days after the resurrection.
Yeah, 3,000 people got saved. And so the miracles was God's way of letting the people know, this is my prophet here, and you listen to him.
Right.
Guess what Peter does? He hits him with the law. You know, you killed your Messiah, you know.
You're killed. And, you're guilty. You're guilty of this, right.
And they were pricked in their hearts. And, well, what can we do? How can we get out of this? Then he presented Jesus who saves. And so I got a question for people. If you don't know that homosexuality is wrong and punishable by death, how are you going to witness to a homosexual? Right? You'll just accept his lifestyle. That's what you'll do.
Yeah, right. And then you affirm a deep rebellion against Jesus Christ because Jesus reminded us that God made us male and female. Jesus said that in the Gospels, not after billions of years of evolution that we're all dogs, we're all apes, we're all worms, but Jesus said at the beginning of the creation, God made us male and female. And so when Christians forget God's law and they do not know right from wrong, then what happens is our testimony itself becomes weak. It loses its effectiveness. And sometimes, like Jesus warned, you make a convert and you make him twice the son of hell that he was before. So we have pastors, we've listed them on our superfluous list of Christian leaders going gay. You have pastors who are affirming homosexuality. We said in 2014, that was the year the church goes gay, and tragically, that was the case.
Yes, you've got to know God's law, and it's got, you know, if you're witnessing to someone and you're telling them that what they're doing is wrong and they're sinners and they're going to hell, you have to have a foundation for that. It can't be just your opinion. And so that's where you go into the scripture and say, look, this ain't my idea. This ain't my opinion. This is what God says.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you have a foundation for what's right, what's wrong, what's moral, and what's immoral. And absent a moral God, there can be no morality. And so they don't even, most people don't even bother to look, you know, what's moral, what's immoral, what's a crime, what isn't a crime.
Tom, on our website, kgov.com/crime, we not only have the links to these resources, but we also have a list of the ways that Christians can reduce the crime epidemic, things that we should advocate for and things that we can actually do to reduce the crime epidemic. So we encourage people to check that out, kgov.com/crime. Also, you can see the many Bible verses in the New Testament that affirm the death penalty. There are so many of those. And then, Tom, your wife Madeline said to me, just as we're closing here, that she was in the hospital a day ago and a gal in the waiting room told her this gal's husband was also dying of cancer. Tragically, the gal's a Christian. And she said, oh, you have to go to Sid Roth's website. My husband is going to be healed. All the miracles, all the people being cured of cancer through Sid Roth's ministry, my husband is going home from the hospital and he will be healed. What are your thoughts on Sid Roth and this gal?
Well, first of all, he's a false prophet. You know, God is not performing miracles today. The fact that you have to convince somebody that a miracle happened is proof that they're not happening.
Right. And, when Jesus was doing miracles and Moses and the prophets, even God's enemies knew overwhelmingly that God was doing miracles. There was no debate about it. You didn't have to convince people.
And, you know, the thing of it is that hospital that I was in, Bob, was just full of leukemia people. That are going to die. And I asked the nurse, I said, you probably see a lot of people dying here, don't you? And she says, yes, I do. And she says, it's so sad. You know?
Yeah.
I said, they don't get made whole
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Juvenile leukemia, there's tremendous treatment now. In fact, a cure, many oncologists have said, for juvenile leukemia, and they're sure working on it for adult leukemia. But, Tom, we're out of time. What an honor it is to spend all this time with you on the air. I really love you as a brother and appreciate you greatly. And I admire your courage, Tom.
I want everybody to order your DVD on God's Criminal Justice System.
Okay. Thank you for that. We'll put a link to that in a show summary. And that was Tom Healy. This is Bob Enyart. May God bless you.